Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Apologist segment of ARC Studies Live. I'm your host, Rick Young. ARC Studies Live is the blogcast radio outreach of the Apologetic Research Center. ARC is a Christian ministry specializing in evangelism, Christian apologetics, and counterculture studies. For more information about ARC, go to the World Wide Web at www.arcstudies.org. Good afternoon, and welcome to today's edition of ARC Studies Live. I'm your host, Rick Young. Today, or this week, I wanted to start a series relating to the Nations of Islam. For those of you who are still waiting for more from the prophets of God, again, all this stuff will come around again eventually. If you have specific questions relating to that topic, just give me an email at ryoung@arcstudies.org. That's ryoung@arcstudies.org. If you would like to participate in today's edition of ARC Studies Live, got a question, got a comment concerning the ARC perspective, the examination of a nation, taking a look at the Nations of Islam, you can give me a call at area code 646-652-2905. I missed you guys yesterday. As I said, I'm in the training industry. And this particular week, I have a training conference with all of my regional trainers here in my home city. And so we had a team building dinner last night. Didn't get a chance to make it home in time. I apologize for that. Again, if you ever tune in to this broadcast and hear dead air, which I will make every effort for it not to happen, it's because I was tied up with work or some other urgent affair. Again, just to give you fair warning, tomorrow I'll be traveling with my team to Indiana, and I should be able to broadcast from the hotel room, just depending on what the how late dinner goes. So I'm going to do my best, but if you tune in again, there's dead air. Please don't charge it to my heart. Charge it to my head. It's because I'm tied up somewhere else. Okay, again, let's get started. Let's move to this rather rapidly. I'll be speaking from my perspective that I wrote for ARC entitled The Examination of a Nation, Taking a Look at the Nations of Islam. And I'll be using that primarily as my guiding document. Of course, I'm willing to deviate at any point and discuss any area of doctrine as it may arise if I receive a call or an email or an IM, or whatever. My AIM address is ARC Studies Live. All right, let's get started. All right, let's talk about the Nation of Islam. They're without a doubt some of the fastest growing non-Christian movements in the midst of the African-American community today. Also known as Black Muslims, members of these organizations are readily identified by their crisp suits and disciplined mannerism as they distribute goods and literature for their respective organizations at many urban venues. Now, I say Nations of Islam because there are numerous organizations extant today to claim this title in some form or another. In fact, when I first wrote this perspective, and it was back in about 1995, the only Nation of Islam that I knew of was Farrakhan's. In fact, I had legitimately believed that Farrakhan was the sole successor to Elijah Muhammad. And I had, I hold as acquaintances, as friends of mine, individuals who are in the Nation of Islam. Some I've known practically all my life who happened to have migrated from my home city to Columbus, Ohio, my current city. And so some of these individuals challenged me, knowing about ARC and recognizing that we were a lot more active as far as seminars and and things at churches back then. Now we tend to do more writing, more consulting, more cyber think tanking, if I can Jesse Jackson that. And so we spend more time doing that and answering emails and writing studies and things like that. But back then, we spent a lot of time out, and so in the communities, with the name recognition, received just a challenge, I guess. And it wasn't like I challenge you, but individuals who are in the Nation of Islam who believed that they were sitting upon God's truth, logically, then if they know that I was in fact at the time the intelligence director of a Christian think tank, you know, and a black man, why wouldn't I take a look at it from their perspective? And because of, you know, I'll look at anything. And so that's how I gained access to all of the works that are cited as my source material for this particular perspective. Over the years, what I found is that there's more than Farrakhan's Nation of Islam, some older than Farrakhan's Nation of Islam, some a lot more active than Farrakhan's Nation of Islam. And so, at any rate, all right, some of these groups, and I just have a listing again, I've only been able to identify about 12 groups that are either Nation of Islam or use the name in their title in some manner, and there may be more out there. So if you know of any other ones, drop me an email, ryoung@arcstudies.org. If you'd like to refer to the document that I am using as my study for this particular series of segments, you can find it at arcstudies.org, www.arcstudies.org, and just select Cult Studies from the menu tab and Nation of Islam. Or Nations of Islam is what it says. So let's look at some of these groups. You have the 5% Nation of Islam, popularly known as the Nation of Gods and Earths. And again, if you go to the site and check these out, I link to all of their sites and information about their particular leaders. The Nation of Gods and Earths was founded by Clarence 13X while Elijah Muhammad was still alive. In fact, he left the New York Mosque and he began to teach a variation of the Nation of Islam. As many of you are familiar with the Nation of Islam's theology know and are aware of, you have the 85%, the 10%, and the 5%. And the 5% are supposed to be the ones who are enlightened. 85 are in the dark, and the 15%, I believe, are holding them in bondage of ignorance. All right, so that they name themselves that. Then you have the Lost Found Nation of Islam under the leadership of Silas Muhammad. Silas Muhammad was a compadre of, or a disciple of Elijah Muhammad. And in fact, after Elijah Muhammad died in 1975, and that's a fact that Farrakhan's group would disagree with, it amazes me that they say that we pray to a spook in the sky and spooky because you don't see God and all the rest of this. And I just find that amazing that Elijah Muhammad died. In fact, you know, I can tell you the time he died, who signed his death certificate, pictures of his grave with all his children there, him in a casket with Farrakhan even there. But yet now they say he didn't die because Farrakhan said that somehow this individual was transported above the mother plane or a spaceship. And so we may talk more on that later. But at any rate, right after Elijah Muhammad died, and he did in fact die, and Wallace began to turn the Nation of Islam away from the teachings of Elijah Muhammad, Silas was the first to break away and make a charge for doctrinal purity. He was averse. He had what he called a declaration of war. And again, you can link to his sites from the ARC site. Again, we have nothing to hide. Have no problem. Link there. Read it for yourself. Then you have the Nation of Islam under the leadership of Louis Farrakhan. Of course, he broke away same year, but later in the year from Silas after he had been encouraged to break away by Jibril Muhammad and Tyneta Muhammad, a woman who claims to be one of Elijah Muhammad's wives. And so he broke away and formed his particular group. And the differences are not subtle. In some cases they are, between Silas and Farrakhan's group. They are subtle. The major difference between those two, Silas's group, as far as the theology of Elijah Muhammad is more true. They're more true to Elijah's doctrine. Except Silas somehow has emerged as the spiritual son of Fard and Elijah. And so that's a distinction. It may be a distinction without a difference. I don't know. I haven't seen where he claimed any special powers or anything, or if he's just saying he's the offspring of those two, which, again, I don't know if anyone in the Nation of Islam would have an issue with that. Of course, Clarence 13X, you know, and Black Messiah, and, I mean, he began to teach some things that were esoteric, you know, Allah's arm, leg, arm, head, things like that. So there are some differences, you know, some numerology, some other things involved. Farrakhan's group has pretty much deviated completely in many respects from Elijah's doctrine from the standpoint of, and I've watched his evolution, but from the standpoint of Farrakhan's belief that whites can be saved. Now, please understand that I have lectured in complete white churches on the Nation of Islam because they've called and asked for it too. And I have told them that the Nation of Islam, no group of the Nation of Islam, none of them are racist. A lot of people want to equate them with the Ku Klux Klan. Nothing could be further from the truth. They are not racist. Now, the reason I say they're not racist is because their aversion and their hatred of the white man is not sociological, which is racism. It's theological. They truly believe that the white man is the devil. And just like Christians hate the devil, and it's not racism because it's theological, it's the same with the Nation of Islam. Now, some may choose to, you know, agree with that. Some may not choose to understand it. But like Elijah Muhammad would say, you could take that or leave it alone. But that's the bottom line with them. All right, so that's Louis Farrakhan's group. Then you have the Nation of, capital F, Islam, under the leadership of Supreme Minister John Muhammad. Now, John Muhammad died over the past year. I believe it was about within the last year. He was Elijah Muhammad's younger brother. And his Nation of Islam was pretty much an orthodox brand of the Nation of Islam. There wasn't so much a claim of any change, of being the spiritual offspring, of changing the teachings as Farrakhan has, as far as, you know, the white man has wicked ways instead of being the devil and things like that. John, on the other hand, taught a straighter brand of the Nation of Islam. In his older age, though, I do believe that he was exploited by my next group, which is the United Nation of Islam, under Solomon Muhammad, whom now calls himself, or is called by his followers, Royal. Solomon was a truck driver for the Nation of Islam when Elijah Muhammad died, and he somehow came to believe while in Baltimore, Maryland, that he was the reincarnation of W.D. Fard, or Master Farad Muhammad, as the Nation of Islam calls them. He became to believe he was the reincarnation of him, forming his own group, the United Nation of Islam. Now, the reason why I say Supreme Minister John Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad's younger brother, was tricked, bamboozled by Solomon, is that Solomon not only claimed to be the reincarnation of Fard, but he went further than that, and he had a friend of his claim to be the reincarnation of Elijah Muhammad. And he invited John Muhammad, who did not know of this claim, onto the stage, and John was just looking for some Nation of Islam unity. And I invited him on stage and then took a picture of it. And in fact, the picture's still on their site, on the United Nation of Islam site, with the caption that Elijah Muhammad's brother welcoming him back, as if John Muhammad, you know, accepted this individual as Elijah Muhammad, which John clearly didn't. he was bamboozled. And so I don't mean to imply that the United Nations of Islam is deceptive, but that was deceptive. In their favor, though, the United Nations of Islam, aside from some of the things, the negativity as far as some of the things they do, you may hear from various groups, they have moved out to Kansas City, Kansas, and they have what looks like thriving businesses out there. Now, someone questioned that, and I haven't verified that beyond what I read. Never been there. But it looks like they have bakeries, trucking firms, farms, barbershops, schools. It looks like they have quite a bit out there. So, again, I haven't verified it personally. That's just what it looks like on their site and in newspaper articles that were written out in Kansas City. Then you have the new Nation of Islam under the leadership of Marvin Muhammad. And all I know of him is what I wrote. Basically, he again has taken upon himself to be the mantle of the new leader of the Nation of Islam. You can read more about his site by accessing the ARC site on this particular group. And taking a look at what Marvin has to say about himself. There's a link about himself. Now, he does call himself the Son of Man. And he believes that, he joined the Nation of Islam in 1973, but at some point he came to believe that he was more. In fact, it says in 1975, he realized that he was the one chosen by Allah to continue Allah's works. In other words, after Elijah Muhammad died, Marvin believes that Farah chose him to carry on the mantle rather than the other gentleman already mentioned. All right, then you have the Nation of Islam on the earth and in the universe that exists under an individual named Melchizedek Shabazz Allah. Mr. Shabazz Allah, his website it has some stuff on there. It's not really as educationally informative outside of the fact that I don't want to misquote. I got the there's teachings in the Nation of Islam that aren't supposed to go outside of the Nation of Islam, and I'm trying to remember if I got them from this particular site or someone else. I don't want to lay that charge to his site, but there's some information there. Click the link from the ARC site and check them out. Then you have the Messianic Nation of Islam under an individual named Prince Messiah Omar Tariq. Now, the links on the ARC site for this particular group, I don't know. I think they had something happening. They didn't pay their internet bills or something, but both links, the link to their website and the link to the information about Omar Tariq, Prince Messiah Omar Tariq, both of those links are no good. I'll leave them up just in case they're having some problems. Let's see. Then you have the Nation of Islam of Canada, which has nothing to do with the Nation of Islam in America. Minister Linwood X was a member of Elijah Muhammad's Nation of Islam and even Farrakhan's, but at some point he broke away and formed his own particular group. It appears that his teachings are, what I find interesting is, let's see, he was born in Kinston, North Carolina. That used to be my old hangout when I was in the Marine Corps, raised a Baptist. But he did join the Nation of Islam under Elijah Muhammad. But he, so he did join under Elijah Muhammad. He did continue to function under Louis Farrakhan, and eventually he broke away in 1997. He resigned from Farrakhan's group and founded the United Nations of Islam in Canada. Since then, Linwood has died, and someone else is in charge of that particular group. Then you have the Mujahideen community of the Nation of Islam under the leadership of Minister Mahdi Khalif Mohammed, the Mujahideen, and this is more of an educational cyber type thing. I'm not sure if they have mosques or anything, but there does appear to be numerous debates and teachings on their site. In fact, some of the debates relating to the United Nation of Islam under Solomon or Royal. Then you have Muhammad Speaks website under the leadership of Minister Levi Karim, and I do believe Levi Karim at one time was a member of Supreme Minister John Muhammad's Nation of Islam, and he eventually broke away, and now he heads a mosque. There's a series of independent Muslim mosques, of which he heads one. Tremendous links to a lot of things on his site, going as far as to link to Elijah Muhammad's death. Has lots of pictures, lots of graphics relating to that. All right, and lastly, I have the Nation of Islam Settlement Number 1 under the leadership of an individual named Seventh Fam. And I did receive an email with this individual's true name. I just haven't updated it into the site. And again, a lot of educational stuff, lots of educational stuff at this site. Most popular with it, though, is a message board. I probably could have listed Freedom Forum, except Freedom Forum does not enforce any one brand of Nation of Islam, whereas the Nation of Islam Settlement Number 1's message board does. Now, the last three organizations that I listed, the Mujahideen Community of Nation of Islam, Muhammad Speaks website, and the Nation of Islam Settlement Number 1, all appear to be comprised of collaborations of independent NOI adherents who seek to continue the teachings of Elijah Muhammad without alteration. These Nation of Islam organizations tout amongst their achievements the ability to reform convicted felons and their success in reforming drug addicts, thieves, and other social outcasts. Even more important than these things, these groups provide a bully pulpit for the disenchanted amongst the African-American community. The purpose of this series of segments on these particular groups generally is to inform the Christian community at large of the doctrines and tenets of the Nation of Islam, Nations of Islam, as taught by its chief apostle, Elijah Muhammad. Although many of the black Muslim leaders today vary in their current interpretation of Elijah's doctrine in order to justify their particular leadership, they are all in agreement as to the divinity, supremacy, accuracy, and foundational nature of the doctrine of Mr. Muhammad and what he taught. For that reason, Elijah Muhammad's teachings will be used as the plumb line by which all Nation of Islam theology in this work during these particular segments will be gauged. Now, if you got a question, get a comment, agree, disagree, you can give me a call, area code 646-652-2905. Again, this area code 646-652-2905. All right, specifically, it is my intention during these series of segments to target those of the black Christian community who have allied themselves with those promoting these deviant forms of American Islam, opting to yield to cultural affiliations rather than biblical mandate. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 through 17, and Ephesians chapter 5, 6 through 11, it makes it clear that we should have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And that's the Ephesians passage. The 2 Corinthians 6 says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, that yoking together, if you're not familiar with the process of yoking during farming, is you yoke two animals, the big wooden or leather harness that puts two animals together to pull together. Christians are already yoked to Christ, according to Matthew chapter 11, which says, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take, learn from me, and I will direct your path. Take my yoke on you, and learn from me, and I will direct your path." And that's a direct reference to the process of yoking older animals with younger animals. Now, understand, it has to be an older and younger animal of the same species. In the law, you could not yoke different animals together. Okay, you couldn't yoke a donkey, for instance, with a bull. Okay, you were not allowed to do that. And the reason for that is because different animals pulled together. They pulled differently. You know, you get a stubborn donkey standing there, and then you get a bull. Bulls are going to pull until you stop them. Donkeys, on the other hand, a donkey will sometimes just stop right in the middle. Now, imagine if you got a bull who won't stop till you stop him, and a donkey who just continues to pull. You have a bull that will walk in a circle. That's what you'll have. And so you weren't permitted to yoke different types of animals together. You had to yoke like animals together. Okay? You had to, for instance, two bulls, or two donkeys. Now, not only should you yoke two of the same animals together, you also should yoke an older and a younger animal together. And the reason for that is the older animal plowed these fields before. You know, animals, they're used. They've walked these same paths. They know exactly what to do. They're trained. I mean, it's just like the practice of yoking, you know, older sled dogs with younger ones, so they learn how to pull. Well, that's exactly what they would do with the older and the younger, you know, oxen or older and younger ass, jackass or donkey. They would yoke them together so that the younger one could learn from the older one. Now, that's why Christ then said, In Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and I will direct your path." That's exactly what that particular passage is referring to. Okay? "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." The older with the younger. And so we're not supposed to be yoked together with unbelievers, okay, or individuals who don't accept Christ as Lord and Savior. All right. Okay, now we at the Apologetic Research Center believe that when you do that, or when these types of alliances take place, for instance, with Christians who want to align themselves with Mitt Romney, you know, because they like his moral stance, but you know, even though he's Mormon, you know, individuals who do things like this do them purely from the perspective of they have a lack of understanding as to how fiercely anti-Christ and anti-Christian these groups are. Number two, they have a lack of understanding as to how blatantly these organizations' teachings conflict with such biblical essentials as the authority of the Christian scriptures and what these scriptures teach about God. An outright rejection in most cases. Number three, they just desire to promote unity, peace, and goodwill. You know, when it comes to the Nation of Islam, they want to promote unity, peace, and goodwill in the African-American community. When it comes to Mitt Romney, hey, they just want somebody up there to be what they call a quote-unquote conservative, to vote conservative issues. You know, and that is not how a decision should be made when it comes to matters of faith. All right, now, with these particular segments, those who lack an understanding, an accurate understanding of just how fiercely anti-Christ and anti-Christian these organizations are shall be informed of such. And those who lack understanding of the differences between the official teachings of these organizations and essential Christian doctrine will see these teachings highlighted and contrasted so as to leave no doubt just how deeply these differences run. Those who lack an understanding of the difference between the official teachings of these organizations and essential Christian doctrine will see these teachings highlighted and contrasted so as to leave no doubt just how deeply these differences truly run. Those who seek the cultural unity they believe these organizations publicly represent will find this unity will only come at the cost of abandoning true Christian doctrine, and that these groups have a hidden agenda. Now, as source material for the perspective and for that I'll be referencing in these series of discussions on the Nations of Islam, the source material includes the Supreme Wisdom, first edition, dated February 26, 1957. Yes, I do have a real copy. I have a copy of all of these works. The Supreme Wisdom, Volume 2, and that one's undated. I have a copy of that. Message to the Black Man, 1965. Elijah Muhammad's Temple Number 2, Chicago, Illinois. That was back before they called them mosques. I also have an additional copy, another copy of Message to the Black Man, in which, and I'll probably talk about those maybe in a, as we move through this particular topic, but there were some prophecies that some pretty, you know, distinct prophecies Elijah Muhammad made. It turned out to be false. And I just found it interesting. One day I picked up another Nation of Islam or another Message to the Black Man published by another group, Nation of Islam, but another independent group. I believe it's like the United Communications or something like that. I'd have to look. But at any rate, the prophecies were changed. They went in and tried to change the teachings. Now, I know some will say, well, you know, no, they didn't. Well, yeah, they did. And I refer to both books when I point this out. All right, then we have, let's see, The Fall of America, 1973, Elijah Muhammad, Chicago, Illinois. Our Savior Has Arrived, 1974, Muhammad's Temple Number 2, Chicago, Illinois. And lastly, The True History of Jesus. And that's a book put out by the Coalition for the Remembrance of Elisha, and the acronyms for that are CRO. You can access it on the World Wide Web or by selecting my link at the bottom or at the left side of the ARC Studies page, www.arcstudies.org. Select Cult Studies from your menu bar, Nations of Islam, and then on the right side of the page as you scroll to the bottom. All right. Because doctrinal information contained in these segments of ARC Studies Live, because much of it has never before been divulged to those outside the ranks of the Nation of Islam, and because it may seem unbelievable to some, it is my sincerest prayer that you as the listener would carefully examine what I'm saying. Look up the biblical references that I give and even check out my contentions concerning the Nation of Islam theology. By looking up the references in the source material that I list, because again, I only use primary source material for all doctrinal parts of this particular work. Primary source material. Okay, even the CRO work has the stamp of approval of everyone that I know of with the Nation of Islam as being the teachings of Elijah Muhammad. Okay, that they just compiled all of these teachings and just put them in one book. They didn't create the teachings. All right, now, this material can be found in any public library. So don't take my word for it. If you don't have copies of these books, go to your public library. Go to the World Wide Web. I'm not sure if they have all of them, but I know that Muhammad Speaks website under Levi Karim and Seven Sam's website, and I do believe Freedom Forum site under Jason Muhammad, I believe that all three of their sites allow you to read Elijah Muhammad's works online. Now, I'm just not as sure if that includes the True History of Jesus and the, I'm not sure if they have the Supreme Wisdom electronically on it, but it does have the rest of Elijah Muhammad's works. And you can research sufficiently to see the point. Disregard what you can't find a reference for at those sites. I can accept that, even though I think you can go to the library and get them if someone really wants to know. But don't just disregard it out of hand without verifying. All right, because I believe then and only then will the true threat that I believe these groups pose to unsuspecting Christians be realized, and only then can adequate theological defenses be emphasized. All right, got a question, got a comment, agree, disagree? Give me a call, area code 646-652-2905. Area code 646-652-2905. Let's talk about the history of the Nation of Islam, where they came from. All right, the Nation of Islam got its start in the mind and activities of an individual named Wallace D. Fard. As an itinerant clothing salesman who appeared in the predominantly black Paradise Valley section of what is now called Detroit, Michigan in the early 1930s, or that's what he did. Mr. Fard, drawing on and juxtaposing Marcus Garvey's militant black nationalism with Noble Droy Lee's anomalous black Islamic theology, weaved fanciful tales about a once great nation of what he called the Asiatic black men who ruled the earth unchallenged for nearly 76 trillion years. 76 trillion years. Okay? Now, there are many who will tell you that Fard was part of Noble Drew Ali's nation or Islam, the Moorish American Science Temple. Okay, there are many who will tell you that, and that after the death of Noble Drew Ali, that Fard ended up in Detroit, and that's where he began this. Many will tell you that, and there's a lot of teaching out there on there. All right, now Fard garnered many converts amongst the downtrodden of this impoverished community with these fanciful stories, while simultaneously selling silks and other materials that he had to them that he claimed were reminiscent of those worn by their glorious ancestry. Okay, the majority of Fard's earliest members included not only those in the Negro community who sought to find some sort of answers to their despised and subjected condition in America up to that point in time, but he also gained a large block of organized membership for Marcus Garvey's now defunct organization, the United Nations, the United Negro Improvement Association, or UNIA. After Garvey's conviction and imprisonment on charges of mail fraud in 1923, many of his followers then gravitated looking for organization to Elijah Muhammad. All righty here, let's see. Elijah Poole had been one of the multitudes of individuals who had migrated north in search of a better life and more equitable treatment from whites during the first three decades of the 20th century. Upon his arrival, Elijah and the vast majority of his contemporaries found that while their economic situations improved somewhat, there was still no decrease in the degree of humiliation and subservience that they were forced to endure. Thus, Elijah joined the United Negro Improvement Association in an attempt to gain some sense of accomplishment and self-respect. Having given his all to UNIA, even rising to the rank of corporal, Elijah was crushed with the organization's rapid demise after Garvey's 1923 conviction and his subsequent permanent expulsion from the United States in 1927. Now, add to this the crash of the New York Stock Exchange in 1929, and we find Elijah demoralized and barely making ends meet with his wife, Claire. It's at this point in his life that Elijah Muhammad encounters Wallace Bard. Unemployed, surviving by means of soup lines, and seeking to bring purpose back into a life of increased misery, Elijah began attending Fard's evening meetings at the request of his wife, Clara. These meetings were being held in the basements of various Paradise Valley tenements. Believing Fard to be some sort of holy man, Elijah became one of his earliest converts. Recognizing Elijah's natural leadership abilities, Fard quickly advanced him in this new fledging religion, changing his name from Elijah Muhammad, or from Elijah Poole to Elijah Muhammad. With the help of this new convert, Fard's organization grew to some 8,000 members by the time of his disappearance in June of 1934. In the months leading up to his disappearance, Fard had suffered repeated instances of harassment by the Detroit Police Department, who were responding to rumors that Fard's group, this new religion, this black Muslims or black Islam, calling themselves the Nation of Islam, you know, were practicing human sacrifice. Because of this, the police ran Fard out of town. Seeking refuge, he set out for Chicago and the Nation of Islam's Temple No. 2, established by Fard's chief lieutenant, Elijah Muhammad, in 1932. Upon reaching Chicago, Fard was then immediately arrested and jailed by local authorities who had obviously been tipped off as to his destination by the Detroit Police Department. From his jail cell, Fard sent for Elijah and promoted him to the position of chief minister, after which he instructed him to return to Detroit and to assume the leadership of Temple No. 1. Further, he was instructed to take charge of all administrative functions of the entire movement. These are the last known instructions from Fard to Elijah prior to his disappearance. Now, I must say, that's Elijah's version. That's what Elijah Muhammad said. Okay? Now, when informed of Fard's mysterious disappearance, many in his movement assumed that either he had met with foul play at the hands of the Chicago Police Department, or other more devoted, and I say that quoting, more devoted members contended he had merely returned to Mecca to prepare himself for his impending return to redeem the original black man and to bring an end to the evil rule of the white devil, something that, according to Fard, should have happened in 1914. And I never yet have understood how he could teach that the white devil's rule was over in 1914 and not even show up to Elijah Muhammad to wake up the black man until 1930. All right. In an effort to quell the skeptics, Elijah began teaching that Fard, whom he now began to teach, was Allah incarnate, because prior to Fard's disappearance, again, I'm giving you Elijah's account, prior to his disappearance, nobody, including Fard, if you read in the teachings that I referred to, that these private teachings of the Nation of Islam, and I forget what they call them offhand, I'll think of it in a bit here, but in those teachings that were supposedly from Fard himself, Fard refers to himself as a prophet. He never refers to himself as Allah. He calls himself a prophet of Allah. Okay? Never. Now, Elijah Muhammad, after saying Fard left, said Fard was, you know, it's pretty much what Farrakhan did with Elijah Muhammad. You know, you elevate him to a position of deity. So he began to teach he was Allah incarnate, and that he had merely been deported, leaving Elijah in charge of the organization. Now, many within Fard's organization rejected Elijah's story, as well as his claims to leadership. This rejection soon erupted into internal fighting, which eventually fractured the movement in several divergent sects, with some of these groups even threatening the very life of Elijah. Realizing his life was in danger, Elijah fled Chicago and spent the next 7 years traveling the eastern portion of the United States, honing his speaking skills whenever and wherever he was permitted to speak. Now, many will point out that at this particular time, the only place that Elijah Muhammad was permitted to speak was in Moorish American science temples that were, you know, the offshoot of Noble Drawley's brand of Islam. And that particular group wore red fezes, and many believe the reason why Elijah Muhammad donned the fez as the official hat, I guess, of the Nation of Islam was because of that particular, you know, those particular groups, having spent time with those particular groups. There are many who also say in the Moorish American Science Temple that they added their distinctive doctrines to Elijah Muhammad, as they, according to them, added those same doctrines to Farid when he was a member of their organization. Now, many in the Nation of Islam recognized Elijah Muhammad traveled up and down the East Coast speaking, but many of them didn't realize that he did it because he was on the run from all these particular or these couple divergent groups from the Nation of Islam who did not accept his version of what happened to Farid and what was to happen next. Now, Elijah continued traveling this circuit until May 1942, when he was arrested and put in jail for failing to register for the military draft. Now, this incarceration turned out to be a blessing in disguise for Elijah. While serving out his five-year prison sentence at the Federal Correction Institution in Milan, Michigan, Elijah skillfully succeeded in overcoming hostile prison officials and an extremely oppressive prison environment to convert many of his fellow inmates to the teachings of Mr. Farid. This diligence didn't go unnoticed by the individuals on the outside or the adherents to the teaching on the outside of the movement. Elijah's activities while in prison greatly exceeded any that any of his critics and or rivals were doing with their respective factions of the organization outside of the prison. As a result of this, Elijah was finally accepted as the undisputed leader of the Nation of Islam upon his release from prison in 1946. So, yeah, Elijah definitely put in the work. All right, let's move forward. On July 29, 1975, 1 month before the Nation of Islam annual Savior's Day celebration, Elijah was admitted into Chicago's Mercy Hospital for what was supposed to be a routine medical examination. Instead, Mr. Muhammad's condition grew steadily worse until he was finally pronounced dead by Dr. Charles Williams at 8:10 a.m. February 25th, 1975 at the Savior's Day Convention held the next day, or at the Savior's Day Convention held the next day, Mr. Muhammad's youngest son, by Clara, was chosen and installed as the next leader of the Nation of Islam. And that would be Wallace. After taking the reins of power, Wallace, who had ceased being a true believer of NOI theology years prior, and swiftly moved to take over, over the next 3 years, to systematically dismantle the religious superstructure his father had built. The name of the organization was changed from the Nation of Islam, and it was changed to the World Community of Al-Islam in the West, again under Wallace Muhammad, W.D. Muhammad, whom, according to him, he was named after W.D. Farid. Okay, Farid had instructed his parents to give him that name, the same name, W.D. Farid, W.D. Muhammad. All right. Let's see. The power structure in Chicago was dismantled with more power from the Chicago headquarters, and it was taken from the Chicago headquarters and given to spiritual leaders called imams in newly developed local worship centers now called mosques. The black man in America was no longer declared to be a lost found member of the Asiatic nation. Okay? White people were no longer identified as devils and, in fact, were granted access to Nation of Islam temples. But the final straw came when Wallace began to reinterpret his father's theology, reducing W.D. Farr from being Allah incarnate to merely being another messenger of Allah. And interestingly, Farrakhan is doing that same thing now to the disdain of some of his followers. All right. During this period of Reformation, there were many of Elijah Muhammad's followers who were severely distressed by the goings-on in Chicago, some accurately describing it as the sacking of a nation. But there were two leaders of note that arose publicly to challenge Wallace concerning his activities. One was Silas Muhammad, and later that same year, the second was Louis Farrakhan. Silas moved quickly in his attempt to reorganize the now-defunct religion formed by forming the Lost Found Nation of Islam and declaring himself to be the spiritual son of his spiritual father Fard and spiritual mother Elijah. But in December 1977, Louis Farrakhan, who had held the position of national minister at the time of Elijah's death, announced his resignation from an organization that looked less and less like the house that Elijah built. Shortly thereafter, at the prompting of one Jibril Muhammad and others, most notably Tynetta Muhammad, Mr. Farrakhan emerged as the charismatic head of the mosque of the most popular branch of one of the many organizations extant that lay claim in some form or other to the name and the legacy of the Nation of Islam. All right. Let's stop there today. I know we got a few minutes left. Well, let's stop there today, and we'll pick it up tomorrow looking at the Nation of Islam in the Bible. Before I go, I'll hold on here for about 30 seconds. If you got any questions, comments, agree, disagree. If you have friends that are in the Nation of Islam, tell them to tune in over the next couple of days because we are going to deal hardcore with some of the differences between the Christian faith and the Nation of Islam. Again, got a question, comment, agree, disagree, give me a call. Area code 646-652-2905. Again, that's area code 646-652-2905. All righty. All right. I encourage you in the interim, and if you miss the broadcast tomorrow, if I miss the broadcast tomorrow, please go to the website, www.archstudies.org, and select Cult Studies from the menu tab. And if you would, just take a listen, or take a read, rather, I should say, not a listen. Take a read of the Arch Perspective on the Nation of Islam. You don't have to agree. I'm not asking you to agree, just asking you to take a look and examine it based upon the references that are given. All right, well, until next time, until tomorrow, same time, this is Rick Young, the apologist. See you next time. Thank you for joining me for today's edition of Arch Studies Live. I'm Rick Young. The apologist segment focuses exclusively on addressing your questions and comments concerning hardcore doctrinal issues relating to biblical difficulties, counter-cult studies, and Christian apologetics. For more information about ARC, go to the World Wide Web at www.archstudies.org. Again, that's www.archstudies.org.